Hey everybody, that was Have Gun Will Travel with Resist the Machine. Welcome to Shock Talk. Tonight will be a quickie, courtesy of flu season and thanks to the person who coughed all over me at work the day before last week's show. But quick doesn't mean unimportant, and to me, tonight's speaker will be saying some of the most important words to ever fly toward Americans' ears. And I don't say that only because they've been taken right out of my mouth. I've been anticipating the end of our empire for more than half a century, and I've prayed it would happen in my lifetime. Not because I hate America, but because I hate the things we've done to others from the beginning. When voicing this to friends and acquaintances, the reaction is usually one of horror, and fears that it would make things extremely difficult for us, the people. And to that, I've always admitted, yes, it will. I'm afraid, too. It's going to be a shit show, and life for us will change drastically and dramatically. But are we really willing to have millions suffer and die so that we can continue having cheap gas and tchotchkes? Is that really who we are? I sincerely hope not, but either way, prepare to buckle up, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
There's a lot of Americans now we see online, understandably, feeling angry, feeling anxious, feeling terrified, and so forth, and they're calling for help. They're calling for direction. They're asking for direction. They're tired, they're scared, they're fed up, and they want a solution. You know, they want a way out. They want the tyrannical madness in their country to come to an end. Mind you, this is just 1 year in to the Trump administration, just 1 year in. Now, I say this not because I accept the idea that any of this actually started under the Trump administration or because of the Trump administration, but because most of the people that you see online who are expressing their outrage and expressing their despair, that's what they think. They think so. So after just 1 year of this, you're at your wit's end. Well, how do you think that looks, and how do you think that sounds to all of America's global victims? How do you think it sounds to the Palestinians? How do you think it sounds to the Afghanis, to the Iraqis, to the Libyans, to the Mexicans, to the Nicaraguans, to the Salvadorans, to the Vietnamese? I'm just saying this for perspective, just for you to have some perspective. What you inflicted on people all around the world was far worse, far more violent, far more intense, and you did it for far longer. 10, 20, 50, 100 times longer, and 10,000 times worse. Just consider that. I'm saying just consider it, just reflect on that, because it's real, and it should give you some perspective, honestly. I mean, I appreciate your anger, I appreciate your panic, but I need to be completely honest with you. I need to be completely honest with you about several things that you may find difficult to hear. First of all, you need to understand your actual position. You need to understand your actual position. You're not suffering from a broken system. You're living under your system, operating perfectly normally, completely normally. What you're experiencing is not a deviation from so-called American democracy. It's what American democracy actually is and always has been. The difference now is that the violence, the coercion, and the cruelty that America has always exported that globally, now it's becoming slightly more visible domestically. And you're finally seeing what the rest of the world has experienced from America for generations. So don't overlook this. Don't be dismissive about this reality, because it's very informative. The nature of your country, of your society, of your system has been viciously demonstrated to the rest of the world for a very long time. Your victims internationally have known and have understood you better than you ever understood yourselves. That's the truth. And yes, that includes the members of the global majority who live inside your country. You know, the ones who you call minorities, Africans, Asians, Muslims, so-called Latinos. The global majority has always known how your system actually is, how it truly operates, whether they live in the lands of their origin or they live inside your borders. And obviously, the indigenous people of America have never not known the reality of America's so-called democracy. So first of all, like I said, don't fool yourself into thinking that your system has broken. And don't fool yourself into thinking that it has changed for the worse. This is how it has always been. Wallahi, this is how it has always been. And the only thing that has modified is maybe, perhaps, that it is less racially discriminatory about who they oppress. So if you want to call that broken, or you want to say that it's worse now than it was before, then all you're actually saying is that it was better when it was only violent and only vicious on a strictly racial basis, when it was only cruel and savage to innocent people in faraway places, which means that you don't actually have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with the cruelty and the savagery. You don't have a problem with the brutality in principle. You just want that brutality to always be explicitly racist and explicitly elsewhere. In other words, you disapprove of Leopold cutting off Belgian hands, but you don't disapprove of him cutting off Congolese hands. ICE isn't an aberration. The deportations are not a deviation. The camps are not a glitch in your system. This is the system. This is what America does. Trump isn't hijacking your country. He's just doing what American presidents have always done. You just didn't see it. He's maybe doing it with a little bit lower quality public relations management, but Obama deported more people than any president before him. Biden continued building Trump's wall. The differences are just aesthetics. There's no difference in substance between this party or that party. Understand this. I mean, you could easily imagine Trump's belligerence actually being nothing but an opening gambit of the power structure. Think about it. You hype up the Nazis, you hype up the fascist signaling, so that then you can stage a coup to topple Trump and his administration, and then you could completely suspend the Constitution, cancel elections, seize total control, and install a supremely fascist government while depicting that as a counter-fascist rescue operation that everyone would cheer for you. Everyone would applaud. Meanwhile, everything proceeds as before, but without the backlash. Your broken system has functioned exactly as designed for 250 years, concentrating wealth upwards, projecting violence outwards, and maintaining domestic control through a combination of material comfort for just enough people, just the right class of people, and spectacular violence against anyone who resists or anyone who exists outside the protected categories. What's happening now isn't the system breaking down. It's you finally seeing it clearly, at least some of you. Some of you are seeing it clearly now for what it is. Actually coming to terms with this should recalibrate your reaction to what's going on. Otherwise, there's still a lot more that you're denying rather than recognizing, because you don't need a leader. You don't need instructions. You need a complete ideological reorientation, wallahi. You know, I've seen Americans online talking about they need a leader. They need a leader to give them a strategy within the existing framework of American society. That's exactly backwards. What you need is to completely abandon the intellectual and the moral framework that brought you to this point. You need to decolonize your mind before you can effectively resist anything. You don't even know what you're resisting. Otherwise, you're not trying to change. You're just trying to avoid the consequences of what you have always approved, of what you still approve, if we're being honest. You understand you're not actually recognizing the reality when you only are disavowing or trying to distance yourself from the consequences, but you're still upholding the utterly deceitful narratives about your society and about your culture and about your system. You're acting like consequences are nothing but a coincidence, because you've been programmed with a series of false premises that you need to get over. A premise like America is fundamentally good and it only occasionally makes mistakes. This is patently false. It's systematic. You believe that the Constitution is some sort of a sacred document representing universal values. That's false. You believe that American institutions can be reformed to serve justice. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't take an electric chair and convert it into a life support system. You think that your vote matters in determining the direction of power. Not even slightly. Not even slightly. You think that you live in a society that's governed by law rather than by force? No. Only the most privileged people in your society can still tell themselves that blatant lie. Only the most privileged in your society could possibly believe that. You believe that your country's violence abroad is somehow separate from the conditions at home? I mean, tell me how. Tell me how. You think that a nation can have a split personality? You think that you just get married to Dr. Jekyll and you never have to deal with Mr. Hyde? You think that you can be a good person while maintaining complicity in a fundamentally evil system? That's the peak, that's the pinnacle of cognitive dissonance. And it's an insult to even the concept of what being a good person is. Every single one of these premises is false. Every single one of these premises is false. And until you fully internalize that they are false, not theoretically, not as an intellectual exercise, but as a lived reality that reshapes how you see everything, well, then you're never going to be able to effectively resist anything, because you're still going to be operating from within the logic of the system itself. You do not have a virtuous system. You don't have a virtuous system that you have to try to reclaim and try to recover and try to salvage. You never had a virtuous system. You never had a virtuous culture or a society that ever genuinely understood, much less valued, virtue. That's a fact. And denying this is itself evidence that you still adhere to that anti-virtuous mentality. This is like asking, how do I convince my abusive partner to stop hitting me? This is what you're asking. The question itself reveals that you haven't accepted, you haven't yet accepted, the fundamental nature of that relationship. The answer isn't better communication. The answer isn't finding the right argument to convince your abusive partner. The answer is recognizing that the relationship itself is the problem. You don't have an abusive partner. You have an abuser. You're not in a relationship. You're in a crime scene. So, okay, if you are genuinely sincere, if you're genuinely mature and honest American citizen, and you're truly serious about any sort of meaningful change in your country, or at least in your own life, I have already talked about this many times. But given where you are, here's what's realistically possible, in my opinion. First, on an individual level, you have to accept you are living in a declining empire that's built on systemic violence. You're living in a declining empire that absolutely deserves to decline, and that never deserved, in fact, never deserved in the first place to be an empire. Because like I said, you need to change from the ground up, from the individual level, from the micro level to the macro level. Your reflex is going to be that that's useless. Your reflex is going to say, this is inadequate. This doesn't help. Because you've got ICE out there, right? You've got ICE going door to door, kidnapping people off the streets, killing people, assaulting people, disappearing people. So you want an answer. You want a solution. You want an immediate remedy right now that's going to stop this from happening. But that in and of itself, I'm telling you, that in and of itself is just a reflex reaction. It's like a gambler who lost this particular bet, and now the bookies and forces are after him. So he thinks that his only problem is the beatdown that he's about to get because of having lost that bet. No, you are a degenerate gambler. You need to fix that problem while you still have some bones left to break. Stop consuming American exceptionalist propaganda. Stop believing it. Stop pretending that America's crimes are historical aberrations. They're not. That's their character. Study actual history. Learn the perspectives of America's victims, the ones that you bombed and sanctioned and subjugated. Read Frantz Fanon. Read Nkrumah, Kwame Nkrumah. Read Malcolm X. Read Sukarno. Read James Baldwin. Read what the global South and the global majority has been trying to tell you for centuries. And then try to restructure your individual relationship to the system. You cannot reform this system from within because the system does not allow any meaningful challenges to itself. Every mechanism of change that you have access to, voting, peaceful protests, petitioning, and so forth, all of this exists precisely because it does not threaten power. The system has given you these outlets to dissipate your resistance into harmless activities. Power exists outside the pale of any so-called democratic mechanisms. They've got you voting for singers, not for record producers and not for label executives. You understand? Like those American Idol shows. You don't vote for anyone who runs things. And anyone that you do vote for doesn't run things. They themselves are run by the people and by the institutions that you don't even know about, that you can't even name, much less that you have any mechanisms to hold them to account. So if you're out here saying that Trump is the problem, or you were out here saying that Biden was the problem, or that the Republicans are the problem, or that the Democrats are the problem, no, you're the problem. If you're saying that, then you're the problem. Your government does not represent you. It represents capital, and it always has. Once you truly accept this and recognize this, then you're going to stop wasting your energy on strategies that presume otherwise. And yes, you have to find an actual moral architecture. I've talked about this many, many times. Again, I know that this is going to sound strange, but it is completely serious. Most Americans who want to resist the system, in reality, themselves, have no coherent moral framework to resist from. You've been given a collection of liberal platitudes about human rights, about dignity, about democracy, and so forth. Decorative language with no structural integrity. These concepts have always been defined for you by the very so-called civilization that built the system that you're trying to resist. And they're designed to be compatible with that system, not with whatever you have in your head. You've been raised believing that the recitation of these talking points is the same thing as thinking, it's the same thing as understanding, and that abstract principles are the same thing as lived, practical integration of principles. That's completely wrong. You have no real conviction. That's the truth. Because you have never seen in your life anyone actually embody principles in their decision-making and in their behavior, unless it was just to brag about it, unless it was just to virtue signal about it, or to put it on Instagram. Because in order to actually embody principles, well, you have to understand them. You have to understand them, and you have to internalize them, and you have to integrate them practically in your life. Not just put them on a t-shirt, not just put it on a bumper sticker. And your society, your so-called civilization, has never prioritized that. They never emphasized that. So they never taught you that. They never taught you how to do that. They never even taught you that that's a thing to be done. No, you need an actual moral framework, one that provides clear standards for right and wrong. I mean, not just something that you use to judge others, which is what you mostly do, but something that you actually comply with yourself. Something that's not based on your own convenience, your own comfort, your own desires, something with actual integrity, with actual commitment, with actual conviction, a moral framework that cannot be negotiated away by power or by money. That gives you something to stand on when every institution around you is corrupt. And that also lets you objectively evaluate when you yourself might be getting corrupted. Because if you're honest, I think that you'll have to admit that most of the time when you see someone talking about morality or talking about right and wrong, they're only doing it in order to apply judgment or disapproval about others, upon others, invoking that as a way to chastise or criticize or complain about not getting what you want or about not being treated the way you think you deserve. Very, very rarely do you ever see someone talking about morals applied in any form of self-assessment, self-evaluation. Well, that's not a moral framework. That's a martial art. You're using that as a way of conflict, as a way of power projection. Obviously, like I've said before, for honest people, especially for Westerners, especially for Americans, the truth of the matter is that Islam is actually the only civilizational framework that's available to you that actually provides a genuine, practical moral structure that you can adopt. I'm not proselytizing. I'm not making da'wah here. I'm making an analytical observation. This is an objective fact. Christianity already deformed itself completely centuries ago to accommodate power. And secular humanism, so-called, is just Christianity without a God and has all the same vulnerabilities. It's the same. Yes, every other option that you might think of is just a boutique philosophy that caters to each individual's desires. I'm telling you, you can't tell the difference between architecture and arson. That's the truth. I mean, let's be honest. We're talking about a population where more than half of you read at a sixth grade level. At a sixth grade, and that's an American sixth grade level, by the way, not the international sixth grade. So when you're talking about sixth grade for you, that's maybe third or fourth grade for Singapore, for example. I'm telling you, your minds have been so corroded, they've been so corroded your whole life with propaganda, with attention span reducing media, with cognitive dissonance, cognitive damage. You've been raised in a culture of selfishness and amorality, of addiction, of anxiety, of confusion, on and on and on. And you tell yourself that you can actually craft your own independent moral frameworks? Meanwhile, you can't even concentrate for more than 3 minutes at a time. Be serious. Listen, humility is a superpower, honestly. It's a superpower. If you can be humble, accurate, merciless self-assessment can be a superpower, and you have to have some humility to do that. Because then you can actually admit what you need to learn, when you need instruction, when you need guidance. And then you can actually get that instruction and guidance and that learning. But if you're too arrogant to do that, then wallahi, you consign yourself to being a lost cause just for the sake of your own ego and for the sake of your own pride. No, you and I both know that you are not up for it. You're not equipped for it. You're not equipped to try to cobble together anything like a coherent, rooted, reliable moral framework for yourself. You can't do it. And it doesn't matter that it is your society and it is your culture and your so-called civilization that rendered you incapable. The fact is you are incapable, most of you. Most of you. And again, everyone, I mean everyone outside the United States, watches you babbling online and you look absolutely mental. The mental health crisis in America is real. The wiring of your collective brain is frayed. You're not in a position to DIY a moral framework, not have it be any better whatsoever than whatever framework you're using right now. So any rational person would understand, any rational, reasonable, intelligent person would understand, at least you need to acknowledge that you are operating in a moral vacuum. And until you fill that vacuum with something that's structurally sound, you need to understand that your resistance is going to collapse the moment it becomes inconvenient, like it always has, like it's doing right now. I mean, imagine the first thing that you do when things get a little bit hard in America, when things get a little bit hard in your country under Trump, the first thing you do is go online and ask the world to come and help you. The world that nobody helped when you were doing far worse to them than what's being done to you right now, than what you're doing to each other right now. Your first instinct is to ask someone else to deal with it for you. You want to outsource your own resistance because you have no moral grounding. You're digging your heels in, right? You like to say you're 10 toes in, standing on quicksand. You're standing on nothing but quicksand. I mean, you're talking about release the list, right? The Epstein list, release the files and so on. Why? Why? You already know a huge number of people who were associated with Epstein. Clinton, Dershowitz, Chomsky, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, Peter Thiel. So what? What have you done about it? Nothing. What have you done? So why would any more names make a difference if you got more names? What's the difference? It's just more people that you won't do anything about. More crimes that you won't do anything about. You just keep asking for the files, actually, as a way to justify or to rationalize you not doing anything. Like, if only we had the files, we'd take action. Too bad they won't release the files, otherwise we would go completely ballistic. No one believes you. You're not fooling anyone. It's like those old cartoons, right, where they draw a line on the floor and tell their enemy, if you cross this line, you'll be sorry. And it keeps getting crossed. He just steps right over it, and then you just keep drawing a new line. This is you. This is the American people right now. I mean, look at all of the hideous things that have come out in the last several months or the last couple of years about the elite. During the Diddy trial, for example, all the testimonies, all the trafficked women, and then what? All the testimonies around Epstein, and then what? Now you have this Sasha, what's his name? Sasha Ryan, talking about all the terrible things that's supposed to have happened to him. Nothing happened. ICE raids, nothing happened. ICE murders, nothing happens. You've got lynchings, nothing happens. ICE murdering people literally in the street, nothing happens. Why on earth would they be afraid to release the Epstein files when you have given them every possible assurance that you will reliably not do anything whatsoever? You've shown that, you've proven that time and time again, except maybe you'll go on the internet and send a vague SOS to the rest of the world about all the bad things that are happening over there. You've got tens of thousands of kids being abducted in your country and trafficked every year in your country. Tens of thousands of kids, one of the highest rates in the world. Meanwhile, supposedly you've got cameras everywhere. Supposedly your phones are watching and listening to everything, listening to you. They know what you're looking at. They know where you are. They know what you're thinking and so on, just to send you ads and whatnot. But meanwhile, children keep disappearing without a trace. What are you doing about it? You've got all these guns. You've got all this bravado. I'm telling you, ICE is going to have to end up having some of their officers take off their masks and start posing as their own opposition groups just to make it look like you people are actually responding to anything. Wallahi, you're comatose. You're absolutely comatose. This is what I mean. No moral grounding. No real moral framework. No real moral structure. You don't know what morality is supposed to look like in practice. Because in practice, doing nothing against oppression and against injustice, doing nothing is approval when you talk about practical morality. But okay, let's say that you do the work individually. Let's say that you actually do the work individually. Well, then the next thing, obviously, the next thing is going to be doing work on the community level. And I've talked about this many, many times. You need to start building parallel structures, parallel networks, parallel power systems, ecosystems. You're not going to capture state institutions. That's not going to happen. They exist to prevent capture by the population. The best that you can do is to build alternative structures that meet your people's needs outside the state systems, outside the state structures. Mutual aid networks that don't rely on NGO funding or government grants and so forth. Alternative education systems, homeschooling networks, study circles, skill sharing, and so on. You need to try to build local food systems, community gardens, farmer cooperatives, direct purchasing, group purchasing, and so forth. You need alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, community mediation, restorative justice circles, and so on. And obviously, you need alternative media. To a great extent, we've already got some of that. You need local publications, study groups, community radio, and so on. You need economic cooperation, tool libraries, time banks, worker cooperatives, and so forth. All of these things you can set up. These are all things that I've talked about at length before. This is you creating strategically independent community infrastructure that can actually reduce your dependence upon the system that you are never going to be able to control, and is going to create some space for you where potentially different values can be practiced and defended. Wallahi, I'm telling you, this is your only chance. Stop thinking that you can change the system and start building your own. Because the truth is, as long as you are not building alternative structures, parallel structures, as long as you're not doing that, it means that you're still holding on to the illusion that the system has just gone astray. You're still holding on to the illusion that you can somehow set it right again. But that's not happening. That's not going to happen. Because it was never right to begin with. You need to end your relationship with your abuser and stop pretending that going to couples therapy is going to change anything. That abuser is what he is, and he's always going to be that way. But I know how you're going to react to this. I know what the reaction is going to be. The idea of building community ecosystems, building systems of community sovereignty, this seems impossible to you. It's too daunting for you. People will never go along with that. It's too hard. It's too tedious. It takes too much work. You can never get people to work together. Well, okay, there you go. Here's your problem. Because I'm literally actually talking about normal human cooperation, normal human mutual support that most people around the world do naturally. They do it organically. Most people around the world do not actually center their lives around their government, around external power structures. They center their lives around their communities, around their families, around their neighbors. They don't need government agencies or NGOs. They literally just cooperate and support each other because that's just normal. That's just normal human behavior. So you need to look at what is so abnormal about you, about your culture, about your so-called civilization, that the very idea of creating sovereign communities seems so daunting to you, seems so insurmountable to you. I'm telling you, the truth is, you have become a whole nation of domesticated cattle for the power structure. That's the truth. You're not citizens, you're pets. And your owner, that pet owner, that cattle owner, is converting you into his food supply now. I told you, the first thing that you have to reconcile yourself with is that the empire is retracting. Your empire is declining and your empire is being dismantled. This isn't hopeful speculation. This is material reality. The economic base that allowed for American hegemony in the first place is eroding. The dollar's role as a reserve currency is being systematically, carefully dismantled by the people who put it together in the first place. The American military only has the power to destroy things, not to build things. And destruction without construction is just expansion failure. Look at Iraq, look at Afghanistan, look at Libya, look at Syria. In all of those places, America only destroyed and they built nothing and they gained nothing. China, the GCC, BRICS, Russia, these are the ones who have gained influence and who have gained leverage in those countries. They're the ones who've gained economic advantage, who've gained political footholds, who've gotten investment opportunities in those countries. They are the rebuilders of what you broke. Look at what's happening. Look at that system. The question isn't whether American power will decline. It's how violent that decline will be and who is going to suffer the most during the transition. What you're seeing as policy failures are actually strategies for decline, managing decline, while preserving elite wealth, while preserving elite advantage. And the looting is intensifying because the window is closing. The police state is being built precisely because they're trying to preempt any resistance. Trump's administration isn't incompetent. Don't tell yourself that. They're not fools. They're executing a specific strategy of asset transfer and fortification. While you're outraged about ICE raids, the actual wealth of your country is being systematically transferred in terms of your assets being systematically transferred to Gulf sovereign wealth funds, to Chinese investors, and to American oligarchs who themselves are positioning themselves for the post-dollar world, for the post-American world order. America's allies are quietly building alternatives to American systems. You don't need to destroy the system. You need to refuse to save the system when it's failing. Let me tell you what's not possible, so you don't waste your time on fantasies. You cannot vote your way out of this. Understand this. Both parties serve the same basic interests. The difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is aesthetic and theatrical, not substantive. You're not going to protest your way out of this. Protest is only allowed because it's ineffective. You had the biggest protest in history in America against the Iraq War, and it happened anyway. Protests make the participants feel like they've done something, which is exactly its function, to dissipate resistance into symbolic gestures and make you satisfied, and simultaneously to make you hopeless that you can never do anything effective. And you're also not going to be able to build a mass movement in America. The truth is that the population is too atomized, too propagandized, too materially invested in the system, and too surveilled. Every mass movement that even began to pose a genuine threat to the American power structure was destroyed. It was destroyed through assassination, through imprisonment, through infiltration, and through co-optation. You cannot stop the violence through appeals to law or morality. American law is the codification of American power, not a check on American power. The Constitution was written by slaveholders to protect their property, and it functions exactly as designed, and it always has. Appeal to so-called American values are nothing but appeals to fictional constructs that have always only ever been designed to make you accept your powerlessness. And the truth is that when you're asking for help, what you're really asking is, how can we stop this while remaining comfortable, while keeping our position in the global hierarchy, while maintaining our sense of ourselves as good people, good, innocent people? And the answer is you can't. You can't. You cannot have justice and also have your empire. Every comfort that you have is built on violence somewhere else. The cheap goods, the reserve currency that maintains your purchasing power, the security from foreign invasion, the ability to travel anywhere in the world on your passport, all of that is built on the systematic subjugation of billions of people. No, like I said, the fall of the American empire is absolutely the most deserved fall in history. And you're a fool if you're trying to prevent it. You're an immoral fool if you're trying to prevent it, and you're a fool if you even think it can be prevented. This is happening, and any strategy and any approach that you take is going to need to be based on an acceptance of this reality, not based on any illusions that you should try to avoid it or try to prevent it from happening. You need to be focused on alternatives to the system, because the system, as you have always known it, in fact, is going away. The rich and the powerful in your country, in your nation, the people who run your system, they are all preparing for its dismantling. They're the ones who are dismantling it, and they're preparing for a future without it. So if you have any sense whatsoever, that's what you would be doing too. If you actually want justice, then you need to be prepared in the real world to become poor by global standards. You need to be ready to lose your imperial privilege and admit that that's what it's always been. You need to be willing to accept that the rest of the world does not owe you a soft landing for your empire's crimes. That's the truth. Most Americans, even the most progressive so-called Americans, even the most well-meaning Americans, are not actually even willing to accept this trade-off, this inevitable trade-off. They want their empire to continue running, but they want it to be nicer. They want American power to be deployed for good causes, not dismantled. They want to keep their position in the global hierarchy, at the top of the global hierarchy, but they want to be able to feel ethical about it. But this is impossible. The position itself is unethical. There's no way to nicely manage your empire when it's been built completely and sustained on theft and murder. The architects of your empire themselves are abandoning it, and that you still want to hold on to it. Well, that's a fool. That's a fool, and it's an immoral fool. No, you need to build alternative systems, alternative structures that reduce your dependence on the imperial structures. Food systems, education systems, economic cooperation, economic ecosystems on a community level, conflict resolution systems on a community level. Everything that makes communities less dependent upon state power, less dependent upon private sector power. You need to prepare for the collapse that's coming, because it is coming. The dollar system is going to fall apart. It's being made to fall apart. The social contract is going to deteriorate even more. Political violence is going to increase. So you need communities that can survive all of that without state support. Because state support is going to increasingly become either unreliable or actually even more predatory. You need to accept suffering and sacrifice. You need to accept that resistance comes at a cost. People go to prison. People lose jobs. People get beaten. People get martyred. And if you're not willing to accept these possibilities, then you're not actually ready to resist. You're ready to petition your oppressors to be nicer to you. You need to abandon the identity of American as even being anything worth preserving. You're not trying to save America or restore American values, if you have any sense whatsoever. America is a crime against humanity that needs to come to an end. There needs to be justice. The question is whether you're going to try to help that end peacefully or whether you're going to try to sustain it, cling on to it, and take millions of other people down with you. So the real question isn't what you can do. The real question is, what are you willing to become? Because what's required isn't a strategy or a tactic or a leader. What's required, wallahi, is a complete transformation of your whole self-conception, your values, your understanding of the world, and your relationship to power. You've been raised in a so-called civilization that worships power, that treats success, material success, as the only measure of value, that organizes everything around domination and submission, zero sum. Your entire so-called culture is nothing but the law of the jungle and savagery, which is maybe better public relations. And you've internalized this. Even if you think that you've rejected it, you have internalized this. So real resistance means becoming a different kind of person. You need to become a kind of a person who measures value by different standards, who finds meaning outside the logic of empire, who can endure suffering without abandoning their principles, have conviction, who can lose maybe by the standards of the West without experiencing any sense of defeat. You need an actual civilization to stand in, one that provides you with meaning outside the logic of power. Otherwise, the moment that the costs get high and your resistance means losing your job or losing your reputation or losing your security, you'll fold. You'll cave in, just like you're doing now, because you have nothing to stand on. Meanwhile, look at Gaza. Look at the Palestinians in Gaza. Their civilizational grounding, their civilizational moral grounding has made them victorious and has made them unbeatable, no matter what your empire has done to them. So the people who can successfully resist empires aren't those who have a good strategy, even though a good strategy helps. The people who can properly resist empires and resist domination, they're people who have something worth suffering for, something that's worth suffering for that's greater than their own comfort. People who have found a way to be psychologically and spiritually and mentally and intellectually free, even while they're being physically subjugated. And until you find that, all the strategies in the world are not going to make anything better for you. Then it's not going to matter at all, because you will abandon that movement the moment it becomes inconvenient. The bottom line is, you're not going to stop ICE. You're not going to stop the Trump administration. You're not going to stop the dismantling of the American empire. You're not going to reform American democracy, so-called. These are fantasy goals that allow you to avoid accepting the reality of your situation. So what you can actually do is refuse as much as you can to be an instrument of the system. You need to build alternatives at the margins of the society. Support genuine resistance movements globally and try to prepare yourself and prepare your communities for the inevitable collapse that is already underway. And maybe most importantly, you need to stop traumatizing yourself and stop traumatizing others by imposing upon others or inflicting upon others the false hope that that system can be saved or can be reformed. It cannot be. It's working exactly as designed. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you can do the actual work of trying to build something different in the ruins of that failed malicious empire. That's not hopeless. That's realistic. That's the only kind of hope that you should be interested in. Hope that's based on fantasy is cruel. Hope that's based on a clear-eyed assessment of material conditions, on reality, and actually existing strategic possibilities, that's liberating, even when the reality requires you to admit that the possibilities are limited. You're living through the end of an empire, and that's actually the best news that you could possibly get, because the ending of your empire is when the rest of the world begins to heal from the crimes that you committed. But this situation requires you to abandon the framework that you're currently operating in, and the question is whether or not you're ready for that.
Welcome back. That was Shahid Bolson from Middle Nation, and I pray his words reach the masses, because I want to believe that the so-called average American is better than our reputation, and that if we had to really look at what we've been doing, we'd insist our government stop doing it in our name. But we should also be aware that everything we've been doing unto others is going to come back to haunt us. ICE and our militarized police will be coming for us soon. And those of us who survive their onslaughts, well, the alleged elite intend to have us chipped, vaccinated, and boosted on the regular, living in smart cities under constant surveillance, and using digital money they can turn off immediately should we displease them. Though it couldn't be further from the truth, many Americans insist we are a Christian nation. And I'm always shocked when self-described Christians have no problem with the mayhem and murder we commit against others around the world. I think of them as Christ-free Christians because they'll listen to anyone but Jesus. They act as though Jesus is God's mentally deficient son. You have to praise him effusively if you want to suck up to God, but you wouldn't actually take him seriously. He's retarded. Jesus probably said all that love your neighbor crap because his neighbor wasn't an asshole. And the Bible is full of kings who say it's okay to kill your neighbor for all kinds of reasons. But Jesus said we shouldn't kill anyone, and thou shalt not kill is like number one on God's list, isn't it? But I'm told that was a long time ago. Things change. The kings all say it's cool. It's in the Bible. And king beats carpenter, am I right? Besides, God gave us dominion over everything. I'm sure it's going to be fine. But it's not going to be fine. And when our chickens come home to roost, the world is going to laugh, not help us. They're going to ask us where we were when they needed help. Because invading and occupying and stealing resources isn't help. Nuke them all and let God sort it out isn't help. Toppling governments and installing vicious dictators who will do as we say isn't help. And our troops, right or wrong, that really isn't help. My parents always said, God helps those who help themselves. And Bolson had some very good advice in that regard. ICE and the cops are as out of control as our military and our government, and they will have no problem using taxpayer-funded weapons against us. They will not stand with us because they don't want to be like us on the wrong end of those weapons. The general strike called for May Day this year is a weapon they can't fight, though they'll try. But May is several months away, and in the meantime, there's a lot we can do to prepare for the inevitable. So I'm going to do the usual and something I have never done before. First, I'm going to thank you for hanging out with me tonight and hope you'll come back next Saturday at 12 a.m. Sunday. Then I'm going to play us out with another listen to Shahid Bolson because his words bear repeating. And then we will end with Peyeluzi, because redemption is possible even for us. Sweet dreams.
There's a lot of Americans now we see online, understandably, feeling angry, feeling anxious, feeling terrified, and so forth. And they're calling for help. They're calling for direction. They're asking for direction. They're tired, they're scared, they're fed up, and they want a solution. You know, they want a way out. They want the tyrannical madness in their country to come to an end. Mind you, this is just 1 year into the Trump administration. Just 1 year in. Now, I say this not because I accept the idea that any of this actually started under the Trump administration or because of the Trump administration, but because most of the people that you see online who are expressing their outrage and expressing their despair, that's what they think. They think so. So after just 1 year of this, you're at your wit's end. Well, how do you think that looks, and how do you think that sounds to all of America's global victims? How do you think it sounds to the Palestinians? How do you think it sounds to the Afghanis, to the Iraqis, to the Libyans, to the Mexicans, to the Nicaraguans, to the Salvadorans, to the Vietnamese? I'm just saying this for perspective, just for you to have some perspective. What you inflicted on people all around the world was far worse, far more violent, far more intense, and you did it for far longer. 10, 20, 50, 100 times longer, and 10,000 times worse. Just consider that. I'm saying just consider it. Just reflect on that, because it's real. And it should give you some perspective, honestly. I mean, I appreciate your anger. I appreciate your panic. But I need to be completely honest with you. I need to be completely honest with you about several things that you may find difficult to hear. First of all, you need to understand your actual position. You need to understand your actual position. You're not suffering from a broken system. You're living under your system, operating perfectly normally, completely normally. What you're experiencing is not a deviation from so-called American democracy. It's what American democracy actually is and always has been. The difference now is that the violence, the coercion, and the cruelty that America has always exported that globally, now it's becoming slightly more visible domestically. And you're finally seeing what the rest of the world has experienced from America for generations. So don't overlook this. Don't be dismissive about this reality, because it's very informative. The nature of your country, of your society, of your system has been viciously demonstrated to the rest of the world for a very long time. Your victims internationally have known and have understood you better than you ever understood yourselves. That's the truth. And yes, that includes the members of the global majority who live inside your country, you know, the ones who you call minorities, Africans, Asians, Muslims, so-called Latinos. The global majority has always known how your system actually is, how it truly operates, whether they live in the lands of their origin or they live inside your borders. And obviously, the indigenous people of America have never not known the reality of America's so-called democracy. So first of all, like I said, don't fool yourself into thinking that your system has broken. And don't fool yourself into thinking that it has changed for the worse. This is how it has always been. Wallahi, this is how it has always been. And the only thing that has modified is maybe, perhaps, that it is less racially discriminatory about who they oppress. So if you want to call that broken, or you want to say that it's worse now than it was before, then all you're actually saying is that it was better when it was only violent and only vicious on a strictly racial basis, when it was only cruel and savage to innocent people in faraway places. Which means that you don't actually have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with the cruelty and the savagery. You don't have a problem with the brutality in principle. You just want that brutality to always be explicitly racist and explicitly elsewhere. In other words, you disapprove of Leopold cutting off Belgian hands, but you don't disapprove of him cutting off Congolese hands. ICE isn't an aberration. The deportations are not a deviation. The camps are not a glitch in your system. This is the system. This is what America does. Trump isn't hijacking your country. He's just doing what American presidents have always done. You just didn't see it. He's maybe doing it with a little bit lower quality public relations management, but Obama deported more people than any president before him. Biden continued building Trump's wall. The differences are just aesthetics. There's no difference in substance between this party or that party. Understand this. I mean, you could easily imagine Trump's belligerence actually being nothing but an opening gambit of the power structure. Think about it. You hype up the Nazis, you hype up the fascist signaling, so that then you can stage a coup to topple Trump and his administration, and then you could completely suspend the Constitution, cancel elections, seize total control, and install a supremely fascist government while depicting that as a counter-fascist rescue operation, and everyone would cheer for you. Everyone would applaud. Meanwhile, everything proceeds as before, but without the backlash. Your broken system has functioned exactly as designed for 250 years, concentrating wealth upwards, projecting violence outwards, and maintaining domestic control through a combination of material comfort for just enough people, just the right class of people, and spectacular violence against anyone who resists or anyone who exists outside the protected categories. What's happening now isn't the system breaking down. It's you finally seeing it clearly, at least some of you. Some of you are seeing it clearly now for what it is. Actually coming to terms with this should recalibrate your reaction to what's going on. Otherwise, there's still a lot more that you're denying rather than recognizing, because you don't need a leader. You don't need instructions. You need a complete ideological reorientation, wallahi. You know, I've seen Americans online talking about they need a leader. They need a leader to give them a strategy within the existing framework of American society. That's exactly backwards. What you need is to completely abandon the intellectual and the moral framework that brought you to this point. You need to decolonize your mind before you can effectively resist anything. You don't even know what you're resisting. Otherwise, you're not trying to change. You're just trying to avoid the consequences of what you have always approved, of what you still approve, if we're being honest. You understand you're not actually recognizing the reality when you only are disavowing or trying to distance yourself from the consequences, but you're still upholding the utterly deceitful narratives about your society and about your culture and about your system. You're acting like consequences are nothing but a coincidence because you've been programmed with a series of false premises that you need to get over. A premise like that America is fundamentally good and it only occasionally makes mistakes. This is patently false. It's systematic. You believe that the Constitution is some sort of a sacred document representing universal values. That's false. You believe that American institutions can be reformed to serve justice. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't take an electric chair and convert it into a life support system. You think that your vote matters in determining the direction of power. Not even slightly. Not even slightly. You think that you live in a society that's governed by law rather than by force? No. Only the most privileged people in your society can still tell themselves that blatant lie. Only the most privileged in your society could possibly believe that. You believe that your country's violence abroad is somehow separate from the conditions at home? I mean, tell me how. Tell me how. You think that a nation can have a split personality? You think that you just get married to Dr. Jekyll and you never have to deal with Mr. Hyde? You think that you can be a good person while maintaining complicity in a fundamentally evil system? That's the peak, that's the pinnacle of cognitive dissonance. And it's an insult to even the concept of what being a good person is. Every single one of these premises is false. Every single one of these premises is false. And until you fully internalize that they are false, not theoretically, not as an intellectual exercise, but as a lived reality that reshapes how you see everything, well, then you're never going to be able to effectively resist anything because you're still going to be operating from within the logic of the system itself. You do not have a virtuous system. You don't have a virtuous system that you have to try to reclaim and try to recover and try to salvage. You never had a virtuous system. You never had a virtuous culture or a society that ever genuinely understood, much less valued virtue. That's a fact. And denying this is itself evidence that you still adhere to that anti-virtuous mentality. This is like asking, how do I convince my abusive partner to stop hitting me? This is what you're asking. The question itself reveals that you haven't accepted, you haven't yet accepted the fundamental nature of that relationship. The answer isn't better communication. The answer isn't finding the right argument to convince your abusive partner. The answer is recognizing that the relationship itself is the problem. You don't have an abusive partner. You have an abuser. You're not in a relationship. You're in a crime scene. So, okay, if you are genuinely sincere, if you're genuinely mature and honest American citizen, and you're truly serious about any sort of meaningful change in your country, or at least in your own life, I have already talked about this many times. But given where you are, here's what's realistically possible, in my opinion. First, on an individual level, you have to accept you are living in a declining empire that's built on systemic violence. You're living in a declining empire that absolutely deserves to decline and that never deserved, in fact, never deserved in the first place to be an empire. Because like I said, you need to change from the ground up, from the individual level, from the micro level to the macro level. Your reflex is going to be that that's useless. Your reflex is going to say this is inadequate. This doesn't help. Because you've got ICE out there, right? You've got ICE going door to door, kidnapping people off the streets, killing people, assaulting people, disappearing people. So you want an answer. You want a solution. You want an immediate remedy right now that's going to stop this from happening. But that in and of itself, I'm telling you, that in and of itself is just a reflex reaction. It's like a gambler who lost this particular bet, and now the bookies and forces are after him. So he thinks that his only problem is the beatdown that he's about to get because of having lost that bet. No. You are a degenerate gambler. You need to fix that problem while you still have some bones left to break. Stop consuming American exceptionalist propaganda. Stop believing it. Stop pretending that America's crimes are historical aberrations. They're not. That's their character. Study actual history. Learn the perspectives of America's victims, the ones that you bombed and sanctioned and subjugated. Read Frantz Fanon. Read Nkrumah, Kwame Nkrumah. Read Malcolm X. Read Sukarno. Read James Baldwin. Read what the global South and the global majority has been trying to tell you for centuries, and then try to restructure your individual relationship to the system. You cannot reform this system from within because the system does not allow any meaningful challenges to itself. Every mechanism of change that you have access to, voting, peaceful protests, petitioning, and so forth, All of this exists precisely because it does not threaten power. The system has given you these outlets to dissipate your resistance into harmless activities. Power exists outside the pale of any so-called democratic mechanisms. They've got you voting for singers, not for record producers and not for label executives. You understand? Like those American Idol shows. You don't vote for anyone who runs things. And anyone that you do vote for doesn't run things. They themselves are run by the people and by the institutions that you don't even know about, that you can't even name, much less that you have any mechanisms to hold them to account. So if you're out here saying that Trump is the problem, or you were out here saying that Biden was the problem, or that the Republicans are the problem, or that the Democrats are the problem, no, you're the problem. If you're saying that, then you're the problem. Your government does not represent you. It represents capital, and it always has. Once you truly accept this and recognize this, then you're going to stop wasting your energy on strategies that presume otherwise. And yes, you have to find an actual moral architecture. I've talked about this many, many times. Again, I know that this is going to sound strange, but it is completely serious. Most Americans who want to resist the system, in reality, themselves, have no coherent moral framework to resist from. You've been given a collection of liberal platitudes about human rights, about dignity, about democracy, and so forth. Decorative language with no structural integrity. These concepts have always been defined for you by the very so-called civilization that built the system that you're trying to resist. And they're designed to be compatible with that system, not with whatever you have in your head. You've been raised believing that the recitation of these talking points is the same thing as thinking, it's the same thing as understanding, and that abstract principles are the same thing as lived, practical integration of principles. That's completely wrong. You have no real conviction. That's the truth. Because you have never seen in your life anyone actually embody principles in their decision-making and in their behavior, unless it was just to brag about it, unless it was just to virtue signal about it, or to put it on Instagram. Because in order to actually embody principles, well, you have to understand them. You have to understand them, and you have to internalize them, and you have to integrate them practically in your life. Not just put them on a t-shirt, not just put it on a bumper sticker. And your society, your so-called civilization, has never prioritized that. They never emphasized that. So they never taught you that. They never taught you how to do that. They never even taught you that that's a thing to be done. No, you need an actual moral framework, one that provides clear standards for right and wrong. I mean, not just something that you use to judge others, which is what you mostly do, but something that you actually comply with yourself, something that's not based on your own convenience, your own comfort, your own desires, something with actual integrity, with actual commitment, with actual conviction, a moral framework that cannot be negotiated away by power or by money. That gives you something to stand on when every institution around you is corrupt. And that also lets you objectively evaluate when you yourself might be getting corrupted. Because if you're honest, I think that you'll have to admit that most of the time when you see someone talking about morality or talking about right and wrong, they're only doing it in order to apply judgment or disapproval about others, upon others, invoking that as a way to chastise or criticize or complain about not getting what you want or about not being treated the way you think you deserve. Very, very rarely do you ever see someone talking about morals applied in any form of self-assessment, self-evaluation. Well, that's not a moral framework. That's a martial art. You're using that as a way of conflict, as a way of power projection. Obviously, like I've said before, for honest people, especially for Westerners, especially for Americans, the truth of the matter is that Islam is actually the only civilizational framework that's available to you that actually provides a genuine, practical moral structure that you can adopt. I'm not proselytizing. I'm not making da'wah here. I'm making an analytical observation. This is an objective fact. Christianity already deformed itself completely centuries ago to accommodate power. And secular humanism, so-called, is just Christianity without a God, and has all the same vulnerabilities. It's the same. Yes, every other option that you might think of is just a boutique philosophy that caters to each individual's desires. I'm telling you, you can't tell the difference between architecture and arson. That's the truth. I mean, let's be honest. We're talking about a population where more than half of you read at a sixth grade level. At a sixth grade, and that's an American sixth grade level, by the way, not the international sixth grade. So when you're talking about sixth grade for you, that's maybe third or fourth grade for Singapore, for example. I'm telling you, your minds have been so corroded, they've been so corroded your whole life with propaganda, with attention span reducing media, with cognitive dissonance, cognitive damage. You've been raised in a culture of selfishness and amorality, of addiction, of anxiety, of confusion, on and on and on. And you tell yourself that you can actually craft your own independent moral frameworks? Meanwhile, you can't even concentrate for more than 3 minutes at a time. Be serious. Listen, humility is a superpower, honestly. It's a superpower. If you can be humble, accurate, merciless self-assessment can be a superpower, and you have to have some humility to do that, because then you can actually admit what you need to learn, when you need instruction, when you need guidance, and then you can actually get that instruction and guidance and that learning. But if you're too arrogant to do that, then wallahi, you consign yourself to being a lost cause just for the sake of your own ego and for the sake of your own pride. No, you and I both know that you are not up for it. You're not equipped for it. You're not equipped to try to cobble together anything like a coherent, rooted, reliable moral framework for yourself. You can't do it. And it doesn't matter that it is your society and it is your culture and your so-called civilization that rendered you incapable. The fact is you are incapable, most of you. Most of you. And again, everyone, I mean everyone outside the United States watches you babbling online and you look absolutely mental. The mental health crisis in America is real. The wiring of your collective brain is frayed. You're not in a position to DIY a moral framework, not have it be any better whatsoever than whatever framework you're using right now. So any rational person would understand, any rational, reasonable, intelligent person would understand, at least you need to acknowledge that you are operating in a moral vacuum. And until you fill that vacuum with something that's structurally sound, you need to understand that your resistance is going to collapse the moment it becomes inconvenient. Like it always has, like it's doing right now. I mean, imagine the first thing that you do when things get a little bit hard in America, when things get a little bit hard in your country under Trump, the first thing you do is go online and ask the world to come and help you. The world that nobody helped when you were doing far worse to them than what's being done to you right now, than what you're doing to each other right now. Your first instinct is to ask someone else to deal with it for you. You want to outsource your own resistance because you have no moral grounding. You're digging your heels in, right? You like to say you're 10 toes in, standing on quicksand. You're standing on nothing but quicksand. I mean, you're talking about release the list, right? The Epstein list, release the files and so on. Why? Why? You already know a huge number of people who were associated with Epstein. Clinton, Dershowitz, Chomsky, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, Peter Thiel. So what? What have you done about it? Nothing. What have you done? So why would any more names make a difference if you got more names? What's the difference? It's just more people that you won't do anything about. More crimes that you won't do anything about. You just keep asking for the files, actually, as a way to justify or to rationalize you not doing anything. Like, if only we had the files, we'd take action. Too bad they won't release the files, otherwise we would go completely ballistic. No one believes you. You're not fooling anyone. It's like those old cartoons, right, where they draw a line on the floor and tell their enemy, if you cross this line, you'll be sorry. And it keeps getting crossed. He just steps right over it, and then you just keep drawing a new line. This is you. This is the American people right now. I mean, look at all of the hideous things that have come out in the last several months or the last couple of years about the elite. During the Diddy trial, for example, all the testimonies, all the trafficked women, and then what? All the testimonies around Epstein, and then what? Now you have this Sasha, what's his name? Sasha Ryan, talking about all the terrible things that's supposed to have happened to him. Nothing happened. ICE raids, nothing happened. ICE murders, nothing happens. You've got lynchings, nothing happens. ICE murdering people literally in the street, nothing happens. Why on earth would they be afraid to release the Epstein files when you have given them every possible assurance that you will reliably not do anything whatsoever? You've shown that, you've proven that time and time again, except maybe you'll go on the internet and send a vague SOS to the rest of the world about all the bad things that are happening over there. You've got tens of thousands of kids being abducted in your country and trafficked every year in your country. Tens of thousands of kids, one of the highest rates in the world. Meanwhile, supposedly you've got cameras everywhere. Supposedly your phones are watching and listening to everything, listening to you. They know what you're looking at. They know where you are. They know what you're thinking and so on, just to send you ads and whatnot. But meanwhile, children keep disappearing without a trace. What are you doing about it? You've got all these guns. You've got all this bravado. I'm telling you, ICE is going to have to end up having some of their officers take off their masks and start posing as their own opposition groups just to make it look like you people are actually responding to anything. Wallahi, you're comatose. You're absolutely comatose. This is what I mean. No moral grounding, no real moral framework, no real moral structure. You don't know what morality is supposed to look like in practice, because in practice, doing nothing against oppression and against injustice, doing nothing is approval when you talk about practical morality. But okay, let's say that you do the work individually. Let's say that you actually do the work individually. Well, then the next thing, obviously, the next thing is going to be doing work on the community level. And I've talked about this many, many times. You need to start building parallel structures, parallel networks, parallel power systems, ecosystems. You're not going to capture state institutions. That's not going to happen. They exist to prevent capture by the population. The best that you can do is to build alternative structures that meet your people's needs outside the state systems, outside the state structures. Mutual aid networks that don't rely on NGO funding or government grants and so forth. Alternative education systems, homeschooling networks. study circles, skill sharing, and so on. You need to try to build local food systems, community gardens, farmer cooperatives, direct purchasing, group purchasing, and so forth. You need alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, community mediation, restorative justice circles, and so on. Obviously, you need alternative media. To a great extent, we've already got some of that. You need local publications, study groups, community radio, and so on. You need economic cooperation, tool libraries, time banks, worker cooperatives, and so forth. All of these things you can set up. These are all things that I've talked about at length before. This is you creating strategically independent community infrastructure that can actually reduce your dependence upon the system that you are never going to be able to control, and is going to create some space for you where potentially different values can be practiced and defended. Well, like I'm telling you, this is your only chance. Stop thinking that you can change the system and start building your own. Because the truth is, as long as you are not building alternative structures, parallel structures, as long as you're not doing that, it means that you're still holding on to the illusion that the system has just gone astray. You're still holding on to the illusion that you can somehow set it right again. But that's not happening. That's not going to happen. Because it was never right to begin with. You need to end your relationship with your abuser and stop pretending that going to couples therapy is going to change anything. That abuser is what he is, and he's always going to be that way. But I know how you're going to react to this. I know what the reaction is going to be. The idea of building community ecosystems, building systems of community sovereignty, this seems impossible to you. It's too daunting for you. People will never go along with that. It's too hard. It's too tedious. It takes too much work. You can never get people to work together. Well, okay, there you go. Here's your problem. Because I'm literally actually talking about normal human cooperation, normal human mutual support that most people around the world do naturally. They do it organically. Most people around the world do not actually center their lives around their government, around external power structures. They center their lives around their communities, around their families, around their neighbors. They don't need government agencies or NGOs. They literally just cooperate and support each other because that's just normal. That's just normal human behavior. So you need to look at what is so abnormal about you, about your culture, about your so-called civilization, that the very idea of creating sovereign communities seems so daunting to you, seems so insurmountable to you. I'm telling you, the truth is, you have become a whole nation of domesticated cattle for the power structure. That's the truth. You're not citizens, you're pets. And your owner, that pet owner, that cattle owner, is converting you into his food supply now. I told you, the first thing that you have to reconcile yourself with is that the empire is retracting. Your empire is declining, and your empire is being dismantled. This isn't hopeful speculation. This is material reality. The economic base that allowed for American hegemony in the first place is eroding. The dollar's role as a reserve currency is being systematically, carefully dismantled by the people who put it together in the first place. The American military only has the power to destroy things, not to build things. And destruction without construction is just expansion failure. Look at Iraq, look at Afghanistan, look at Libya, look at Syria. In all of those places, America only destroyed and they built nothing and they gained nothing. China, the GCC, BRICS, Russia, these are the ones who have gained influence and who have gained leverage in those countries. They're the ones who have gained economic advantage, who've gained political footholds, who've gotten investment opportunities in those countries. They are the rebuilders of what you broke. Look at what's happening. Look at that system. The question isn't whether American power will decline. It's how violent that decline will be and who is going to suffer the most during the transition. What you're seeing as policy failures are actually strategies for decline, managing decline, while preserving elite wealth, while preserving elite advantage. And the looting is intensifying because the window is closing. The police state is being built precisely because they're trying to preempt any resistance. Trump's administration isn't incompetent. Don't tell yourself that. They're not fools. They're executing a specific strategy of asset transfer and fortification. While you're outraged about ICE raids, the actual wealth of your country is being systematically transferred in terms of your assets being systematically transferred to Gulf sovereign wealth funds, to Chinese investors, and to American oligarchs who themselves are positioning themselves for the post-dollar world, for the post-American world order. America's allies are quietly building alternatives to American systems. You don't need to destroy the system. You need to refuse to save the system when it's failing. Let me tell you what's not possible so you don't waste your time on fantasies. You cannot vote your way out of this. Understand this. Both parties serve the same basic interests. The difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is aesthetic and theatrical, not substantive. You're not going to protest your way out of this. Protest is only allowed because it's ineffective. You had the biggest protest in history in America against the Iraq War, and it happened anyway. Protests make the participants feel like they've done something, which is exactly its function, to dissipate resistance into symbolic gestures and make you satisfied, and simultaneously to make you hopeless that you can never do anything effective. And you're also not going to be able to build a mass movement in America. The truth is that the population is too atomized, too propagandized, too materially invested in the system, and too surveilled. Every mass movement that even began to pose a genuine threat to the American power structure was destroyed. It was destroyed through assassination, through imprisonment, through infiltration, and through co-optation. You cannot stop the violence through appeals to law or morality. American law is the codification of American power, not a check on American power. The Constitution was written by slaveholders to protect their property, and it functions exactly as designed, and it always has. Appeal to so-called American values are nothing but appeals to fictional constructs that have always only ever been designed to make you accept your powerlessness. And the truth is that when you're asking for help, what you're really asking is, how can we stop this while remaining comfortable, while keeping our position in the global hierarchy, while maintaining our sense of ourselves as good people, good, innocent people? And the answer is you can't. You can't. You cannot have justice and also have your empire. Every comfort that you have is built on violence somewhere else. The cheap goods, the reserve currency that maintains your purchasing power, the security from foreign invasion, the ability to travel anywhere in the world on your passport, all of that is built on the systematic subjugation of billions of people. No, like I said, the fall of the American empire is absolutely the most deserved fall in history. And you're a fool if you're trying to prevent it. You're an immoral fool if you're trying to prevent it, and you're a fool if you even think it can be prevented. This is happening, and any strategy and any approach that you take is going to need to be based on an acceptance of this reality, not based on any illusions that you should try to avoid it or try to prevent it from happening. You need to be focused on alternatives to the system, because the system, as you have always known it, in fact, is going away. The rich and the powerful in your country, in your nation, the people who run your system, they are all preparing for its dismantling. They're the ones who are dismantling it, and they're preparing for a future without it. So if you have any sense whatsoever, that's what you would be doing too. If you actually want justice, then you need to be prepared in the real world to become poor by global standards. You need to be ready to lose your imperial privilege and admit that that's what it's always been. You need to be willing to accept that the rest of the world does not owe you a soft landing for your empire's crimes. That's the truth. Most Americans, even the most progressive so-called Americans, even the most well-meaning Americans, are not actually even willing to accept this trade-off, this inevitable trade-off. They want their empire to continue running, but they want it to be nicer. They want American power to be deployed for good causes, not dismantled. They want to keep their position in the global hierarchy, at the top of the global hierarchy, but they want to be able to feel ethical about it. But this is impossible. The position itself is unethical. There's no way to nicely manage your empire when it's been built completely and sustained on theft and murder. The architects of your empire themselves are abandoning it, and that you still want to hold on to it. Well, that's a fool. That's a fool, and it's an immoral fool. No, you need to build alternative systems, alternative structures that reduce your dependence on the imperial structures. Food systems, education systems, economic cooperation, economic ecosystems on a community level, conflict resolution systems on a community level. Everything that makes communities less dependent upon state power, less dependent upon private sector power. You need to prepare for the collapse that's coming, because it is coming. The dollar system is going to fall apart. It's being made to fall apart. The social contract is going to deteriorate even more. Political violence is going to increase. So you need communities that can survive all of that without state support, because state support is going to increasingly become either unreliable or actually even more predatory. You need to accept suffering and sacrifice. You need to accept that resistance comes at a cost. People go to prison. People lose jobs. People get beaten. People get martyred. And if you're not willing to accept these possibilities, then you're not actually ready to resist. You're ready to petition your oppressors to be nicer to you. You need to abandon the identity of American as even being anything worth preserving. You're not trying to save America or restore American values, if you have any sense whatsoever. America is a crime against humanity that needs to come to an end. There needs to be justice. The question is whether you're going to try to help that end peacefully or whether you're going to try to sustain it, cling on to it, and take millions of other people down with you. So the real question isn't what you can do. The real question is, what are you willing to become? Because what's required isn't a strategy or a tactic or a leader. What's required, wallahi, is a complete transformation of your whole self-conception, your values, your understanding of the world, and your relationship to power. You've been raised in a so-called civilization that worships power. that treats success, material success, as the only measure of value, that organizes everything around domination and submission, zero sum. Your entire so-called culture is nothing but the law of the jungle and savagery, which is maybe better public relations. And you've internalized this. Even if you think that you've rejected it, you have internalized this. So real resistance means becoming a different kind of person. You need to become a kind of a person who measures value by different standards, who finds meaning outside the logic of empire, who can endure suffering without abandoning their principles, have conviction, who can lose maybe by the standards of the West without experiencing any sense of defeat. You need an actual civilization to stand in, one that provides you with meaning outside the logic of power. Otherwise, the moment that the costs get high and your resistance means losing your job or losing your reputation or losing your security, you'll fold. You'll cave in, just like you're doing now, because you have nothing to stand on. Meanwhile, look at Gaza. Look at the Palestinians in Gaza. Their civilizational grounding, their civilizational moral grounding has made them victorious and has made them unbeatable, no matter what your empire has done to them. So the people who can successfully resist empires aren't those who have a good strategy, even though a good strategy helps. The people who can properly resist empires and resist domination, they're people who have something worth suffering for. Something that's worth suffering for that's greater than their own comfort. People who have found a way to be psychologically and spiritually and mentally and intellectually free, even while they're being physically subjugated. And until you find that, all the strategies in the world are not going to make anything better for you. Then it's not going to matter at all, because you will abandon that movement the moment it becomes inconvenient. The bottom line is you're not going to stop ICE. You're not going to stop the Trump administration. You're not going to stop the dismantling of the American empire. You're not going to reform American democracy, so-called. These are fantasy goals that allow you to avoid accepting the reality of your situation. So what you can actually do is refuse as much as you can to be an instrument of the system. You need to build alternatives at the margins of the society. Support genuine resistance movements globally and try to prepare yourself and prepare your communities for the inevitable collapse that is already underway. And maybe most importantly, you need to stop traumatizing yourself and stop traumatizing others by imposing upon others or inflicting upon others the false hope that that system can be saved or can be reformed. It cannot be. It's working exactly as designed. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you can do the actual work of trying to build something different in the ruins of that failed malicious empire. That's not hopeless, that's realistic. That's the only kind of hope that you should be interested in. Hope that's based on fantasy is cruel. Hope that's based on a clear-eyed assessment of material conditions on reality and actually existing strategic possibilities, that's liberating, even when the reality requires you to admit that the possibilities are limited. You're living through the end of an empire, and that's actually the best news that you could possibly get, because the ending of your empire is when the rest of the world begins to heal from the crimes that you committed. But this situation requires you to abandon the framework that you're currently operating in. And the question is whether or not you're ready for that.